This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, voted Best Tour and Transport Operator in the New South Wales Tourism Awards. If you want to know why they're award-winning, why not check out one of their great beer experiences, like their Rocks Pub Walk, which is a historical walking tour with a twist, the twist being beer, of course. Walking tours are pretty awesome to begin with, and adding beer to the equation makes it awesomer, so it's really worth checking out. To book your tour today, go to daves.com.au.
Sessionable.
Welcome everyone to Sessionable.
Yeah, probably just a quick one.
Yeah, so it's me, Adrian.
And me, Tom.
Figured we haven't done a kind of a news roundup episode for a while.
Yeah, it's been a bit. We've done a lot of sort of interviews and other themed episodes recently. So thought we'd get together with some beers and sort of chat about the last couple of months of beer news, what's been happening.
Yeah, just a quick roundup, I guess. Yeah. Like, why don't we start with like the last half dozen breweries that have been acquired by other groups.
We've got Mornington just got bought by Tribe.
Yeah, breweries. So is Tribe just another name for Brewpack, or are they the mother company for Brewpack?
I don't know the exact corporate structure, but I'm treating sort of it as the same entity, I guess.
So so if you don't know the Tribe or Brewpack or whatever
Stockade,
whatever
or,
the actual thing is, they own Stockade, and have been brewing them for a while. They do a lot of contract brewing for other breweries, and they actually did some contract brewing for Mornington prior to their acquisition of Mornington.
Yep.
I think they also own Wild.
They do, the gluten-free
brand.
Yep.
And so they're an Australian company that owns a whole bunch of other breweries now, and we'll get back to that.
Yeah, we'll return to that. Who else has been bought? We've got Booze Bud just got bought by AB InBev.
Yep. Was it their like XY or XZ?
XYZ Ventures or whatever.
YZ Ventures.
Some
kind of innovation arm.
Yeah. Which also owns Rate Beer.
Yep. So Lion picked up a couple of international breweries.
Yep.
So they picked up Harrington's in New Zealand.
Yep.
And Four Pure in the UK.
Interesting, like, that it was Lion. I mean, in New Zealand, it makes sense. Lion's a big presence in New Zealand.
But yes.
It's interesting that it was Lion Nathan, the Australian company that bought Four Pure in the UK.
Right.
It wasn't so Kieran.
That always confuses me. The whole Lion Nathan.
So Lion Nathan, I believe, and I could be wrong on this, but I believe Lion Nathan is sort of the name for the Australian business.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they picked up a UK brewery.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they intend to do, like if they intend to make it like a premium import or if they want a presence in the UK or both.
Yeah, I can see them using it as sort of a way to push the Creatures and Squires brands over in the UK.
Yeah, I guess like having like a kind of an outpost there would be pretty helpful, I guess.
And Four Pure was pretty big when they bought it, like in terms of London-based.
Yeah, and I think they were intending on expanding and explored a few different options and ended up going with I'm thinking Beavertown.
Okay.
I take it back. Actually, so Beavertown were looking to expand, and we're exploring a whole bunch of options about how to get the money for that, and ultimately ended up going with Heineken.
49% share, right?
So they're now part owned by Heineken. So that happened as well.
Yeah.
The Australian brewery got bought out by a hotel group, a big hotel group called Red Cape.
They join Hawthorne as being owned by a big hospitality.
Yes.
Group.
And All Hands as well.
Yes.
Which has always been a hotel.
Yeah, but I believe, like, to me, the difference is All Hands is pretty much just their own brew pub, right? They don't distribute.
Yeah, I don't think it gets outside of that brew pub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas Hawthorne and
Australian Brewery.
Australia Brewery.
Yeah.
It's much more than just the venue.
Yeah, good point.
It's the brand. Yeah.
So that's kind of all happened in the last couple of months since we've done a general catch up.
What else has happened? I think let's stay on this.
Yeah,
we'll back to Mornington.
Why don't we talk about what do we think about the ownership structure of an Australian brewery owning another Australian brewery? I mean, should they still be considered independent? Because according to the IBA, I think they are.
I don't think there's any way that you can call Mornington independent anymore. I believe they're not. They're fully owned by another entity, right? That's
yeah.
The opposite of the definition of like of any reasonable definition yeah. of independent. What gets tricky is that under sort of like the way the IBA does stuff, the fact that the entity that owns them is an independent Australian brewer.
Yeah, see, that's the tricky thing.
I don't know. Obviously, for me, like this matters a bit. Like my tap list at the pub that I work at, like
yeah.
we only stock independent beer. Is yeah, Mornington yeah. independent beer?
I don't know. Like I mean, in your particular case, I'm not sure if you should be like I'm honestly not sure if you could make your own definitions about independence or go by the IBA definition just to keep it simple.
I think we go by the IBA definition yeah. generally.
So I mean, like you said, in my mind, I don't think. It's independent. Not mm-hmm. that it's going to affect their beers. Like, that's not what we're talking about. But they are owned by another company. That's like, so, to me, that's not independent.
The counterpoint that I bring up to that is Fixation independent?
I was thinking about this as well yeah. way back when. And, you know, I think it's the same issue.
I think it's exactly the same issue. Yeah. I think the difference is that Fixation never existed as its own independent entity, right? Like, yeah. Fixation was... You could just see it as a... Stone and Wood brand.
Yeah, but I don't think it's like entirely owned by Stone and Wood. I think it's like partly owned by yeah. Stone and Wood. So it's a bit weird. And I think like in the same token, we mentioned, you know, the hotel groups owning breweries.
Yep.
And I think, you know, I'm not sure if I would personally consider those independent.
Well, no. And I don't like and for the purposes of my tap list, I would not buy beers from those companies.
Mm.
You know, but that's not necessarily about independence. It is, and it's about other stuff as well. But
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, and our producer Lee's just brought up, you know, like what about brands within breweries? Like Mayday Hills is just a brand of Bridge Road,
yeah,
right? Like
see, the label, that's different really because it is. Yeah, it is like a sub. It's like it's a label. Yeah. It's not another entity.
Yeah, it's like Odd Culture.
Yeah,
you know. But.
Yeah. Oh, you wanna give you wanna give a quick plug?
You can cut that out.
Yeah, yeah. No. Let's talk about Odd Culture for a quick second.
Well, I haven't been on the podcast a lot because I've been very busy at the pub. And a lot of that is we've just opened up a new bar. We've refurbed the middle level and turned it into Odd Culture.
Yep, at the Tap House.
At the Tap House.
Yep.
Which is a wild ale and natural wine bar. And we've been working very hard to get that up and running. And yeah, it's finally there.
Awesome. Yeah, I've been a couple of times and it's a pretty cool spot. I think it's a good use of that middle level because it kind of didn't really have
it's
a place.
It's always been such a weird, you know.
In the past.
It does mean that we can't use it to record podcasts as much anymore. But
yeah. Ah, well. You know. We'll still do it. I don't know.
we still will.
Yeah, cool. Congratulations on that.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Yeah. We're really happy with it. It's a cool space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Other things that have happened recently...
Brute IPA.
Brute IPA, God.
I'm pretty sure that style did not exist last time we did one of these episodes.
No, and look, I'm still kind of reserving my judgment on the style. I've only had one so far.
I think I've had two, maybe three.
Yeah, so I've had Ferrell's one.
I've had Ferrell's one. I also had the Abbey Calabi, which was one this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I haven't had that one this year.
And it's, you know, it's a, the beers I've had have been nice
style.
Beers,
yeah.
But it's,
To me, like, that one particular beer reminded me of the India Pale Lager style in that it was very thin in the body.
Yeah.
There's, like, no kind of, there's, like, very low aftertaste.
Yeah. But
and it was all, it's all
presence.
On the nose yeah. and the flavor,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. Like, I like that.
Yeah. I also just love the idea of... A style basically coming about as a backlash to another style. Like,
yeah, yeah.
There's a cool story there that I'm into.
Yeah,
and they're both sort of taking aspects of IPA to different extremes.
Yeah,
where I think the ideal is somewhere in the middle. But
yeah,
you know.
Like a West Coast IPA, for example.
Yeah, you know, funny that. Yeah, someone should just brew an IPA that's like got some really nice hop flavor and aroma, but also has some bitterness. I don't
yeah,
know,
yeah.
like somewhere in between. It's not, yeah.
I wonder actually if kind of West Coast IPAs will come back into the fore because of these two styles that are kind of riffs on it.
We're recording here at the Royal Albert. I've seen you guys have a beer on tap and I've got it on tap as well. That is a labeled as a New England IPA.
Mm.
But is a West Coast IPA.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, is it, though? Because it looks like a West Coast IPA. but I don't think it has the same bitterness as a West Coast IPA.
It's got quite a bit of bitterness. I don't know. I mean, it's juicy.
I've had New England IPAs that have been more bitter than that one. We're talking about the Little Bang, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the Little Bang, the Undercover Fashion Police.
Yeah.
3, Don't Fear the Nipah, I think is the full name.
Great name.
Just Don't Fear the Nipah is a great name.
Yeah, look, I think it's closer flavor-wise to a Nipah than some of the other Nipahs that I've come across. But
sure.
And I think there's less bitterness than some of the other Nipahs that I've come across, but...
I think if I were to...
In terms of looks...
But also, if I was to taste it and put it into a style, I wouldn't immediately guess Nipah.
I probably would have just called it an IPA, to be honest, but...
Speaking of West Coast IPAs, I'm enjoying a Warhog at the moment.
I'm having a Blend 15, I believe, of Wildflowers Gold.
Beautiful.
Gets better and better
every
time. Every time it gets better and better. We won't talk too much more about Wildflower. I think we've
mentioned them now.
Yeah,
so
we've mentioned it. So that's our quota for the day. What else has been happening? Oh, Stone and Wood.
Got some, a few different items.
Yeah. I think the big one is that they finally settled that case with
Thunder Road.
Yep.
Yeah.
About the Pacific Ale trademark. So they were pretty much like, you know what? Like the High Court sided with Thunder Road,
yeah,
and we'd spent way too much man hours and money on this, and we just can't be bothered now.
Yep.
So they've changed their trademark to the original Pacific Ale.
Yep. OG Pacific.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which it is.
And in terms of branding, it hasn't really changed too much. Like, it still has
that distinctive orange.
The distinctive Stone and Wood on the orange background, and it just has an extra line saying the original Pacific Ale.
Yep. Which is...
I think it's a good solution.
Yeah. And look, Thunder Road are notorious trademark dicks, basically.
Yeah,
like
pretty much.
They've been doing it for as long as I've known the name Thunder Road, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're just sort of... and I know Breeze News has done extensive reporting on their trademark trolling, but...
In other Stone Wood news, they've also announced they're going to open a venue in Brisbane.
Which is very exciting.
It's kind of... They've said it's a kind of a training venue, so they like to kind of keep a close relationship with a lot of their accounts.
Yep.
And because it's a bit too far away to go to Byron just for, you know, kind of training on their brand, they want to open this venue as a kind of training venue, but also as a kind of second tasting room.
Yep.
So they have the tasting room in Byron, and they want like a kind of Brisbane equivalent, just to kind of keep on top of the scene, especially with like BrewDog and stuff opening up soon. And they're also going to install a 600 litre pilot brewery there, which should be pretty fun.
I've been really impressed with the sort of the pilot batches coming out of Stone and Wood recently. We've been seeing more and more of them in Sydney.
I haven't had too many. I had the prelude or the prequel.
Yeah, yeah. Prequel's
I think
really
that was
tasty.
The last one I had.
Yeah. They've just done a fresh batch of prequel, actually.
Ooh, yum. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. What else did I have on my list of news? Festivals?
We're going to talk a bit about beer festivals.
The reason I wanted to bring this up was there's this beer festival coming up in early November, I believe, called Cheers Festival.
Yeah, well, that's at Barangaroo, right?
In Barangaroo.
So early November, isn't that just like a week after?
Well, it's the end of Beer Week, so it's like the closing weekend of Beer
Week.
Oh, is
it part of? So it is part of.
I think it might be. I'm not sure if the official. Yeah, I'm not sure if the official program is out. But
our producer is nodding, saying yes, it is. It is part of.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
which we've seen attempts at something like that before. There was years ago. What was the one at Carriage Works? There was some beer festival at the end of Sydney Beer Week at Carriage Works. It was a big flop. Sip and Savor was the festival.
And like, you know, full disclosure, we are sponsored by Dave's Brewery, Dave's Travel and Events Group, who run
Sydney
Beer Week.
Yeah.
And so we're not bringing this up just because we're sponsored by them. We genuinely actually want to talk about this.
Yeah, it's beer festivals in Sydney. Like, there's not that many that work really well.
Well, I think the problem is there's too many that are the same.
Yeah.
So, like, one of the original ones, and I think it's still happening again this year, which is, I think, before Beer Week, is the Aussie Hotel Beer Festival. And that's going to be, like, 2 weeks apart from this one.
Yeah.
And it's... going to be the
and
same.
In the same
like
area the, as well.
The
it's
same
like the
area.
Rocks versus Barangaroo.
It's probably going to be a bigger area with a few more breweries, but it's going to have a lot of common breweries. Like, why... Like,
And the other thing is like the Aussie is the classic. Every brewer gets a tent and a table, brings a jockey box, pours some beer, right?
Like trestle tables and parallels, like Elva Time says.
Exactly. And that's what the Aussie festival does, and they does it very well.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the OG of that in Sydney.
But I don't think there's a need to do another one exactly the same.
No, and I mean, even a few weeks ago, we had Beer and Barbecue Fest.
A couple of months ago.
Yeah, the first time in Sydney. And it was hot in the heels of Gabs. It was 2 weeks after Gabs, and like,
and it didn't really do a lot of different stuff. Like Gabs had barbecue stands, so
yeah. And Beer and Barbecue's big draw was they had this container in the middle doing beers you could only get there that were were collabs done by BrewDog, but like that wasn't it. They weren't there were six of them, right?
Yeah.
It was, and then there were it was a, look. I think the festival itself was fine.
Yeah.
There was lots of good beer there. Like the brewers that went were all very good and brought very good stuff, but there were more brewers there than there were punters, and there were more security guards than brewers and punters combined.
I heard a lot of complaints about the security guard presence.
That's not the festival's fault.
Did we need that festival though? Like, I don't think we did.
No. And the idea that it works well in Adelaide, so it'll work well in Sydney.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's we've got Gabs that works very well.
Yeah,
it could work better, but it sold out two sessions.
Yeah, but like even like Gabs is like unique in that. They have those festival beers, and that's their kind of point of difference.
And it's less about the exhibitors. It's less about trestle tables and pale ales, right?
Yeah, like yeah.
And it's more about the experience of going to the festival and big things, which I think Beer and Barbecue tried to do. Like, they had some decent sort of musical acts playing as well. And I don't know.
I'm not trying to knock on any of the festivals in regional areas either, because I think they are fine. Like, they are not having a festival every month.
No, and regional festivals, have, you know...
They're good for introducing people in regional areas to good beer. And some people from the city travel to those festivals as well, which is fine.
No,
but to have so many in the same city, to me, it's a bit redundant.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, yeah, no, I agree.
I hope it's successful, but...
Oh, look, if we get the next great Australian beer festival, then, like, excellent. Like, that's only good for us as drinkers and people in the industry, but I don't necessarily see it happening like that.
While we're on the topic of festivals, did you hear about that one that Dainton's doing in Queensland? I felt like when I read it, I was in a fever dream.
Wait, I haven't.
Right. So, they, like, brewed 10 new beers a week for like a few months, and they're doing a 130 tap takeover of this venue in Brisbane.
In Brisbane,
and it's like it's all their beers. It's like the biggest tap takeover in the world or something. It's just insane.
That is insane.
Yeah.
What?
So, I'll link you to it. It's
sure.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's even like a craft bar. It's just a bar that has heaps of taps, and they just want to do this crazy event.
Cool. I love that. That's great. Yeah. That's a cool event.
And that's a new thing, right?
Do something like, different.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll put that in the show notes. It's pretty insane. Like, I tried to look for the link again just before coming here, and I'm like, did I imagine it? I don't know. But like, Lee seems to be nodding as well, so I think he's seen it too.
Unless you shared a fever dream together. Yeah. You had one too many dram jets or something.
Yeah. God. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that beer last night.
Yeah, you. Anyway,
I don't remember paying for my bill. I was like, did I pay for my bill?
You did
and they're like, you paid for your bill.
You paid for your
God.
Bill. I remember. It took you ages.
It just went from 0 to 100, in no time.
Yeah, well, it was the first beer I had as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
crazy.
God.
All right. Should we take a break?
Yeah, quick break, and then Rex.
Sessionable.
Ever been in the work function and it's just cheap drinks on a boat for, like, the fifth year in a row? And you think to yourself, ugh, I wish I was doing something fun. Well, Dave's Travel and Events Group can help you out with that. With Dave's Events, they can hook you up with some great team-building activities like axe throwing. Or they can curate a nice degustation matched with some good beer. Or they can even help you brew your own beer for your staff and clients. Whatever your needs, Dave's Events can customise an awesome local beer experience for your workplace. So it doesn't have to be just drinks in a boat. Although it can totally be drinks in a boat. For more info, check out daves.com.au.
And we're back.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that was. I think that was the best ad rate I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Really good.
Thank you. Yep. It's I've been doing that one for a while. So yeah, thanks. You finally noticed.
Yeah. I don't listen to the episodes.
Recommendations. Should we start with non-beer?
Sure.
You want to go?
Cool. I'm going to recommend a video game I've been playing a lot. My housemate's been playing a lot.
Yeah.
It came out a few years ago, but they recently updated it. No Man's Sky.
Oh, yeah.
They've just updated it, and now it's way more the game they sort of promised.
Yeah, so apparently, like, when that first came out, it was kind of a bit sparse.
I played it. I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, and I sort of fell off after a few days of playing, and now I've played for a couple of weeks, and I'm loving it, and I don't see myself falling off. It's basically, like, very much like Minecraft, but you're going around planets. You do a lot of sort of exploring procedurally generated worlds and traveling around. There's a bit of a story. You build bases and you know, mine stuff out of the earth. And it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. And
it's
really cool, infinite sort of universe to explore.
Mine is also a throwback video game recommendation. This was when Xbox 360 was still out, but you can get it on PC, Mac, and backwards compatible on Xbox One now as well.
Cool.
It's Splinter Cell Conviction.
All right.
So the previous Splinter Cell games before this was like all super heavy stealth games.
Yep.
And this one, it's kind of like Sam Fisher is back with a vengeance, and now it's still kind of stealth, but also he's a complete badass.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just such a good game.
Cool.
There's like so many good set pieces.
Yeah.
Awesome. Really fun action shooter slash kind of stealth game.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Beer.
Yeah.
Cool.
You want to go?
Yeah. I went the other day. Wayward were doing a dark beer. I think it was Wayward like Dark Fest or something. I can't remember what they called it.
Yeah.
Dark beer sort of takeover where the brewers had all brewed different dark beers and they had a sort of a showcase. One of them that was not actually done for the event but was on, they launched it coinciding with the event, was their Russian Imperial Stout, the St. Basil.
Yeah, cool.
I've
been meaning to try it. I haven't tried it.
It's really, really good. Yeah. It's 9%, I think, so it's not like overly boozy. It's got a lot going on. It's got lots of complex layers, but it's also not super sweet. It's nice and like dry and balanced and just very good.
Yeah. Awesome.
I like it a lot. Just to tie in with mine as well, they also had a cocktail at that event called, I think it was called the, Cowboy Coffee. So it was a pint of Midnight Barley Cowboy.
Yeah.
With a half a shot of spiced rum.
Yeah.
A shot of nitro cold brew coffee.
Mm.
And then topped off with whipped cream and chocolate sprinkles.
Sounds yum.
It was great. It was really good. You know me, I don't like putting sweet stuff in my beers too much, but it's...
So I'm going to recommend... speaking of Boat Rocker that we mentioned just previously... I'm going to recommend the Boat Rocker House Red.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which is their Flanders Red style beer, and it's probably one of the best Flanders Red style beers I've had from an Australian brewer.
Excellent. Period. Looking forward to that.
It's really good. Surprised me, like, I went to Bit of You to have it because they had a Boat Rocker event on in the weekend, and apparently, like, there was not a lot of confusion when people were ordering their House Red.
Oh, and their House Red
versus
wine.
Versus the wine, yeah. So apparently it was mostly fine.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they don't sell a lot of wine, but...
Yeah. I mean, they do, but yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that pretty much wraps us up.
Yeah.
So, short and sweet this week. But,
yeah. If you like the podcast, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And all our social media contacts are on sessionable.net.
And feel free to ask us a question or something, and we'll answer it on the show. We've done that once or twice before.
Yeah.
We'd love to sort of hear from you guys and get some feedback.
Cool.
Cool.
Alrighty. See ya.
See ya.